So we'll start that again. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to spend time clarifying what the mission and vision of our church is. And so today, my hope is that when we leave here, we all know who we are and what our purpose in this church is. I've noticed a few things about Buffalo and about our community since moving here 10 months ago. Now, there are some things that are here that were not present, you know, down in Kentucky. One of those is Tim Hortons. You all might find that to be astonishing that Tim Hortons is not everywhere, but it is not. And so coming to Buffalo, I've seen there are Tim Hortons on every corner. As a matter of fact, they're building one not far from the church when there was already one fairly close by, just to make sure that people don't have to work too hard, you know, to get their coffee. And so you might have heard this week that Tim Hortons was sold to Burger King. How many of you all heard that? You know, I know that a few of you all were probably concerned about Burger King buying Tim Hortons, maybe having some questions like, are they going to start serving those in Burger King's, or is the quality of my coffee, is it going to go down? Maybe the service isn't going to be as good anymore. And so I know the Canadians, when they heard that news, you know, they were worried that an American company was buying this Canadian company and wondering what was going to happen to their beloved coffee friends. So I think that time will probably tell if people should be worried or not. But my guess is that if Tim Hortons stays true to who they are, to the core of what they're all about, then they're going to be okay. Because Tim Hortons, they might make some donuts, they might make some breakfast sandwiches or some smoothies, but at their core, they are coffee people. They make coffee. And if they continue to make good coffee, they're going to continue to have clientele. And so my question for us this morning is, who are we? What are we all about? What's at the core of Kaz Church? When people walk into this place, I would hope that everybody would be able to communicate, at least after today, what it is that this church is all about. So I want you to start this morning with me in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start there, and we're going to make our way through some of the Gospels today to try to find out the answer to that question. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This is the last paragraph in the Gospel according to Matthew, where he says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. Our Father, today we ask you to make your mission for the church clear to us, and to make it clear to us what each individual here is to be. It is your command. It is your authority. Please make it known to us today. And please empower us to do what you call us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples what they were to do until he returned. Unless I've missed something, he has not yet returned, right? And so whatever it is that Jesus called his disciples to do here, we are still commanded to do today. And the chief command in this passage is to make disciples. We are to make disciples. Every ministry under the leadership of this church needs to be geared toward that end of bringing people to follow Jesus Christ and helping them grow once they have come to know him. So a minute ago, John made mention about this new food ministry. And our hope is that through this ministry that many people in our church or in our community will have a physical need met, right? I mean, we want to meet physical needs. We want to help people. But that's not our ultimate aim. The ultimate aim of this church is to extend beyond this life and to extend beyond physical needs into the spiritual realm, into spiritual needs. So our hope is through that food ministry that people that come into these doors, they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Onto a loving relationship with Him, to know Him and to trust Him and to serve Him faithfully. So yeah, we want to fill their stomachs, but ultimately we want to fill their hearts with Christ. So who are we? We are called by Jesus to be disciples who make disciples. We are called to be disciples who make committed followers of Jesus who bring others to Him and serve the body of Christ and serve the world. Now that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? You know, but the next thought that might come to your mind is, you know, but who is a disciple? And what is a disciple? What does it mean to follow Jesus? It's fine, Lonnie, to say that we're disciples, but tell us what it means to follow Jesus. And so this morning, I want you to hear from the words of Jesus what it means to follow Him. And I want you to examine your own heart and examine your own life. Compare your life to that which Scripture says is a disciple of the Savior. What does it mean to follow Jesus? So I hope these passages will get us pointed in the right direction. The first thing a disciple is that a disciple is more devoted to Christ than to anything else. A disciple is more devoted to Christ than to anything else. In Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says this about a disciple. He says, "Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be My disciple.'" Boy, that's some strong language, isn't it? Jesus is trying to draw clear, bold lines of what is a disciple, a person that follows Him, and what is not, who is not. When you know or believe something to be more, most valuable or more worthy, more beloved, you're going to do everything you can to pursue that thing. So whatever is of most value to you, you will make it your life's effort and work to achieve that thing, regardless of whatever it is. For some people, that might be money. It might be possessions. It might be fame or respect, honor or dignity in some way. Everybody here is chasing after something. And Jesus tells us in this passage that what every disciple of His will pursue after is Him. Most of all, you will pursue Him if He is supreme in your affections. If you love Him or are devoted to Him more than anything else, anything that gets in your way of achieving Christ and the satisfaction that He gives, you will make every effort of pursuing it. And so Jesus says here, if family gets in your way, if stuff gets in your way of having Him, you will not be His disciple if you want those things more than Him. Speaking on this passage of Luke 14, John Piper says, "Bearing a cross does not mean primarily having hard times. It means going to Golgotha. It means dying with Christ. Dying to the old attitudes of envy and strife and jealousy and anger and selfishness and pride, and turning to follow Jesus in newness of life. When we make disciples, we bid people to come and die to their old destructive ways and to live for Jesus, who loved them and gave Himself for them." And so when people come through the doors of Casanova Park Baptist Church, what do we want for them? We want them to find fellowship with you all. You're a loving group of people. If I've come to know anything about this church, having been here now for almost a year, it is that this is a loving group of people. You actually care about other people. You want to see other people grow. So I hope that as they come in here, they have fellowship with you. I hope they have some sort of need met as they walk in the door. But most of all, what we want to draw people to is the saving power of the gospel. And so as Piper says here, their old destructive ways, we want to call them out of those things to walk in newness of life. We bid people to come and die. That is the message of the gospel. Die to your old ways, because Jesus has died on the cross. If we are trusting in Him, if we're believing in Him, His death becomes ours. And the life that He now lives, we get to have new life in this life and in the life to come. We're calling people to come to Christ and die to the old ways of life, and to find joy in the newness of life that only He can give to them. And so these other things that people are drawn to, that they think satisfaction is going to come from, money and sex and power and fame and all these things, we call them to not find satisfaction in those. You're not going to find acceptance with God through those things. Come to Christ and find the delight of your soul. You were made to enjoy God, and it is only through Jesus that you can enter into His presence. These other things will make promises to you, but they will only make empty promises that will fail you. Yes, there may be a season of satisfaction or joy that comes from those. The pleasures of sin are fleeting, but the pleasures of Christ last forever. And so, is Jesus supreme in your affections this morning? Is He worthy of your desire and all your hope and even, yes, your entire life? Because if He is not, He says you cannot be His disciple. Would you be a disciple of Jesus Christ this morning? Would you commit your life to Him? Your entire life, not just part of it. Not just part of your calendar, not just part of your checkbook. Not just part of your family. Your life. Because once Jesus is at the center of your life, He demands control of everything. And He will give you delight in everything if you would but follow Him. So He says, if you would not abandon father and mother, possessions, yes, even your own life, you cannot be His disciple. Why is it that Jesus could make this statement about Himself? Why is that not a prideful thing for Jesus to say? He must think that He's pretty special to say that He demands all of your allegiance. And it's because He is. He is the man who is God. And if anyone deserves your allegiance, it is Him. He is God in the flesh. And He makes it possible for you to know eternal, lasting joy. Do you want to call yourself a follower? A follower of Christ? Then love Jesus supremely. Be really honest with yourself this morning and ask, if it came to those things, those possessions, or whatever it is that tempts you, if it came between those things and Jesus, what would you really choose? And we don't want the Sunday morning answer just because you're sitting here in church. What about when it comes to Wednesday and things have gone wrong during the week? There's been some failure some way in your life. You've given in to temptation. Things are difficult. You're not around God's people. You seem to be away from God's Word. You don't feel like praying. What are you a disciple of on Wednesday? And if your life could testify against you, it could bear witness against you, what would your life say that you are a disciple of? Would it be Jesus? I know that there are competing loyalties in your heart this morning. Now, there's a battle in every heart. But God calls us today to choose whom we will serve. Who is more worthy of your devotion? What is more worthy of your devotion? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it all the trappings and the glitter of the world? My hope for you as your pastor is that week in and week out, we come together in various ways and we grow in our love for Jesus. Not in a set of principles, not in a group of ideas or anything abstract, but in a person. The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be about here at CAS. The second thing that a disciple is. A disciple treasures Christ's word. A disciple treasures Christ's word. John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free." In our opening passage, when Jesus gave the order to his followers that they should go and teach everything that he has commanded to them, how can we know what that is? As we continue to teach people about Jesus, how can we know what to teach them? The only record of his commands, the only known teachings of Jesus and those who followed him, the apostles and all those that were associated with the apostles, are from this book. So in this church, we will be a people of this book because we know where the power of God is. It is not in programs. It is not in ministries that we choose to form and gather here for. It is in the Word of the living God. We want God to speak to us in this place each and every week. It's not going to be in our own minds or in our own hearts. We're going to open up this book and allow this book speak into our hearts and into our minds. So I haven't asked you to come here. I'm not going to ever ask you to come here and empty your mind. Empty your mind and meditate on nothingness. We want to come to this place and fill our minds with the Word of God. And so that when we leave here, we can meditate on it. We can think on it. We can wrestle with it. We can trust in it. And that we can obey it. Some might not think that that sounds very fashionable. Like, surely, Lonnie, you've got something more trendy that might attract people to this place. There is nothing better than the Word of God for those who know to obey it. Read the Psalms and find the delight that God's people have had in His Word, in His commands. They delight in them. They know that it's only by hiding His Word in their heart they might not sin against the God that they love. They love His Word. And when you love Christ, you are going to love His Word. Do you want to really be wise to fulfill the purpose that you were created for? The answer is in this book. Do you want to know the most exciting and best way to live in this life? The answers are in this book. And do you want God to really speak to you? You will hear Him in this book. The words you find here, though, yeah, they're ancient, they're old, they've been around for a long time, but so is our God. And His wisdom certainly surpasses ours. And so if He has something to say, I think we should listen to it. Today, God has something to say. And He tells us that the disciples of Jesus Christ will be a people who love His Word. Paul told a young preacher that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So he was teaching a young preacher here that the way that you want to found your ministry is not on clever tactics. It's not on all the things that the world might call us to trust in to make sure that we're successful. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God to correct us, to train us in righteousness, so that we will be equipped for every good work. Do you want to be equipped for every good work for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of your King? Know the Word of God. A people devoid of God's Word will be a people who are devoid of God's power. It's always been this way. God spoke people into existence. He showed His power by speaking life from nothing. It all came by His powerful Word, and He still shapes people by it today. So yeah, you can read it in the Psalms, but it's everywhere in Scripture that God's people are to delight and obey His Word. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you remember, the Israelites were preparing to take the promised land. They've been wandering for 40 years, and it's like God pulled back the curtain ever so slightly to say that, no, I've not been napping during this time. I've not been dealing with you arbitrarily. I've had a purpose for these 40 years that you've been wandering here in the wilderness. And he says, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by, what is it? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That is our nourishment. That is our life. If you want to live this morning as a disciple of Jesus Christ, love his word and know that it is nourishment for your soul. I don't know what it is about my front yard. It doesn't take but a couple of days. Yours may be the same way. It just starts to shrivel up. If it doesn't get any rain, you know? In other people's yards, I don't know if they're out there watering them or not, but their yards have, you know, big, thick green blades of grass. But if I'm not out there spraying mine, which I don't, or if the rain doesn't come like it hasn't here lately, those green blades wither pretty quickly into little brown blades until the rain comes. It needs water. And if it does not receive water for a few days, it is bound to shrivel. That is what your soul is like. Your soul, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, yearns for the Word of God. And if it does not receive it, it starts to shrivel little by little. And you'll notice the aggravation that you might have with other people. Your temper's a little more hot than it normally would be. You lack self-control. You lack gentleness. You lack love with other people. You need God's Word to instruct your heart and to feed your heart. We need to be people of the Word. Do you want to call yourself a disciple? Be a person who loves this book. Who loves this book. And I don't just mean that you put your eyes on it every day and you got your chapters done. I've done my duty. Just in case anybody asks, I can at least tell them that I read 4 chapters in Isaiah today, right? I would prefer that you would read one paragraph and absorb it and wrestle with it and think over it, meditate on it, and obey it than to read 10 chapters any day that when you're done, you have no idea what you just read. I think we've all had some of those experiences before. Soak yourself in the Word of God and look to obey the God who speaks today. Lastly, a disciple's life is rooted in God and produces fruit consistent with Christ and His Spirit. I know that sounds a little more complicated than the first two, but the point that I want to get across is dependence on God. Dependence on God, and right dependence on God will produce the fruit of God. So there's 2 passages in the Gospel of John that I want to read to you. And this statement that I've made is kind of a culmination of those 2 passages. The first is John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so we can see very clearly there that Jesus says that his disciples will have love for one another. John 15, verses 7 through 13. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you," again, he's going back to his word, "ask whatever you wish," we're talking about prayer, "and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Following and abiding in Christ is going to produce love for other people. And so when you see an apple tree, you know, we've seen a lot of apple trees here in the area, and they've gone through their season now. They're bearing fruit right about now. And what you can know about a tree that is bearing fruit is that underneath the ground, something is taking place. There are roots underneath that tree that are absorbing all the nutrients. It's dependent on those nutrients so that it might produce the fruit that it was designed to produce. In the same way, the Christian who is dependent on God, who is dependent on Christ and His Spirit, can expect to produce the fruit of Christ and His Spirit. You can't see what's going on underneath the ground, right? You can't see what's taking place beneath the surface, but underneath the surface, that's where real work is going on. The dependence of the roots on those nutrients. You can see the fruit that comes from it. And so what I want to draw from this is that the Christian is going to find real power and real life in a place where nobody else can see you, where you will be dependent on God, where you are calling out to God to do for you what you cannot do on your own, where you are calling out to God to do for others that you cannot do for them yourself. You're asking God for His power. You must, I must, if we expect to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, if we expect disciples to be made in this place, we must be dependent on God. And that power is going to come from the prayer closet. That power is going to be coming from times where you spend time with Him on your own, away from everybody else. Power is going to come in private, but fruit will come when you are tested and proven in public. So what everybody else sees in public, the real power is going to come when you have spent time with God on your own. And your life is completely dependent on Him for everything. Life and breath and everything comes from Him. And so does the power of the Christian. Is your life rooted in dependence in God? Do you spend time with God, calling out to Him, showing Him that you're like a little child? Because isn't that what God desires of us? To be like little children that come into His presence, asking their Father for good things, knowing that He loves to give those good things to them. He is a good and gracious God, and He delights in a people who call upon Him. Will we be a people who call upon our God and expect Him to give good things to us because we're asking of Him, asking in faith and trusting Him through the blood of Jesus Christ? We know that we can enter into His presence because of what somebody else has done on our behalf. Are we dependent on Him? Are we dependent on Jesus Christ? Are we willing to spend our lives for the sake of other people? Because that's really what the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about love. Primarily, it's going to come across as love for others. Both the people in this room, as we love them, for those out in our community who need to know the love of Christ. They will know that we are disciples by the way that we love. And we will love if we are dependent on Jesus. I want to draw you to the example of the disciples, the followers, for a minute. Talk about the 12, the 11 minus Judas. I want you to remember what happened in their lives. As they came and they followed Jesus, they left everything behind to follow Him. But they didn't really know what to expect, did they? Jesus was preaching this kingdom. He was talking about this kingdom, and they expect, you know, Rome to be expelled from Israel, for them to reign mighty in the land like they once had under the rule of David and under the rule of Solomon. So they expected Jesus to come in and be this king that would lead them into some sort of powerful military status or respect or fame amongst the nations. And so they followed Jesus thinking, you know, we're really going to get something good out of this. Remember James and John when they came to Jesus and they said something to Him like, hey Jesus, how about you allow us when we come into Your kingdom to rule on Your right hand and on Your left hand? They wanted something for themselves. They were seeking something that was me-centered. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. It's not mine to give. When Jesus was arrested and then killed, then the disciples' world was rocked a little bit. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen. This man that they had followed around for 3 years and made these promises, he was gone. It seemed like all the hope of the kingdom was now lost. What now? I think then, after he was raised from the dead, some of those words that Jesus spoke to them began to sink in. He had told them, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus was teaching them about greatness in the kingdom of God was all about serving other people, about giving their life for the sake of someone else, because that's exactly what Jesus had done for them. He gave his life. He served them. And he showed them what greatness really was. And that was the type of greatness that he was calling his disciples to. They started to remember that it was more blessed to give than to receive. Some of you this morning came to the church here. You came to the church because you were you had a need met in some way. It's physical. It was spiritual. I imagine that's probably why many people have come to this church over the years. They came in the doors, somebody loved them, and they stuck. They stayed because they knew this was a place where they could have their needs met. But there comes a time in the life of a disciple where you know it's no longer about just having my own needs met, but you truly desire to see others met and for them to grow. They realize that the Christian life isn't all about receiving from others. It's more about giving. And so these disciples that had followed Jesus around, there was a transition in their life where they had gone from it's all about me and what I get from Jesus to now I am dependent completely on Jesus, and I'm willing to give my life for his sake and for the gospel's. And that's what Christ is calling us to here today. Complete dependence on him so that we'll bear the fruit of love for other people. God has called you as a disciple to be spent for the sake of Christ, to give your life for the sake of the gospel here, so that others might grow. If you want real joy, we have to be willing to let go of our lives. Because isn't that what Christ has called us to? He does bid us to come and die so that others might know him, but so that we might also know real joy. So do you want to call yourself a disciple? Find strength in private for fruit in public, primarily loving others so that they will grow in Christ. That's what God has gifted you for. He has gifted you so that others will be built up in the church. So who are we? Hopefully this morning we know that we're all called to be disciples who make disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is a disciple? From the mouth of Jesus, a disciple is a person who is supremely devoted to Christ and the new life that she is called to live in him. It's a person who treasures his word and desires to obey it, and a person who is willing to spend his life for the sake of other people. Jesus is calling some of you to follow him this morning. Jesus desires disciples. You need to trust in the freeing power of his blood. He knows what you've done. When you've walked in here, he knows your whole life. He knows what you've done, but he still calls you to come. To come and to know him. He's gracious. And he wants you to trust in his life and in his death that make you acceptable to God. Scripture says, "Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." You can leave here today knowing that you are blessed by God, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, God does not count your sin against you. He says, have faith in him this morning. Trust in him. Believe in him. In our opening passage in Matthew 28, Jesus also called people to be baptized. Some of you all have been part of churches for a long time, but you have never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe today you know that God is calling you to that act of obedience. Here in a few moments, I'm going to be standing over here in this room after the service is done. If you know that you need to follow the Lord in baptism, please come and see me. We'll begin talking about the process where you can become a baptized believer. Some of you this morning know that this church is where you would have your membership, that you want to be a part of Casanova Park Baptist Church. Please see me or one of the elders after the service, and we'll tell you about part of the process of what it takes to become a member of this church. Whatever it is that God is calling you to this morning, I hope that you would be obedient. I hope this morning that you've heard the call to be a disciple, and that you want to follow Jesus with your whole life, because that is what this church will be about. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the delight that you have placed in our hearts in him. Because God, we know that even faith is a gift from our God. Everything is from you, and every bit of praise is to you. So thank you, God, for blessing us with the opportunity of knowing joy in Jesus Christ. May each one of these people that are seated here this morning give their lives for the sake of the gospel, that they would be more devoted to Jesus than to anything else, that they would be willing to leave behind the old life and to learn to walk in the newness of life that Jesus provides. That each person here this morning, God, would delight in your word and love to obey it. That we would love to saturate ourselves in it each and every week. When we walk out of this place, our time in the word would not end here, but would continue throughout the week. And I pray that each person here, God, would be dependent on you. Our Savior, when he came to this earth, he lived in dependence on the Father through the Spirit. And that's what you have called us to, God, to be dependent on you, that we might bear fruit worthy of the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we come to you this morning. Amen.